Hello everybody. I've just got a couple of daily breads left. Has everybody got one that wants one? That's fine. Thought we'd been fairly thorough in distributing, but okay. Let's just open in prayer. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to meet together this morning. And Father, we recognise that in this time of continuing uncertainty, we can be certain of you. And we thank you that we can totally depend on our faithful God. So, Father, we come to worship you this morning. We may not be able to sing out loud, but we will worship you in our hearts and in our minds. So, Father, we pray that we would bless you today and that we would receive from you as well teaching to help us to become more like Jesus. Amen.
I heard a story the other day, and I thought it just might interest you. It was on television from America, but it was a true story. Now, this lady was talking to her pastor, and she was telling him a lot of problems, and things were getting her down, and she was in such a state she needed counselling. And she said, you know, would you give me some time? I just really need counselling, I need help. And he said, I'm really busy at the moment. She said, my diary is absolutely full. I will give you help, but it won't be just yet. But he said, I tell you what, you're very good at baking cookies. I know your reputation for making cookies is fantastic. He said, go and make a few batches of cookies and give them out to families that have got children or people around you that you know need a bit of extra help and make their day for them, you know. And she must have thought, well, that's a bit of an odd thing to do. Anyway, off she went. She made her cookies and she took them round to people and she had lots of chats. She met lots of children. She had a great time. Next time she saw the pastor, he said, right, I've got the diary here, a date for your counselling. And she said, I don't need it. I don't need it. She said, I'm absolutely fine. You know, she'd taken her eyes off her own problems for a while and focused on other people. And that's a formula that I think is good for all of us, really. We've all got our aches and pains and, you know, things that have got us down and when times have been bad, and especially during this time. And if we concentrate on all the bad things and the worries and anxieties, it can make you feel really bad. But looking outwards and looking to somebody else who's got problems as well is probably a very good way of dealing with it, because for a time you're taking your mind off all that your own things that are happening and just looking somewhere else at other people round and about that need help. And in a way it reminded me of this scripture. I'll read it to you from Matthew chapter 25, beginning to read at verse 33. Very well known. He shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. And the king said to them on his right hand, come, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me to drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then shall the righteous answer and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and fed you, or thirsty and gave you to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and took you in, or naked and clothed you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and came to you? And the king answered and said, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me. And that connected with the previous thoughts to me. I thought, yes, there are so many people round and about us who, We might not see them needing food or needing water to drink that we can reach out to, but there are lots and lots of organisations that can on our behalf. Water aid, food banks, passing on clothes to people who are not as fortunate as ourselves, supporting missionary aviation, MAF, who deliver Bibles and medical supplies. We can't go to these remote places, but they can do it on our behalf. Mercy ships, who go around doing operations on eyes and other things. And speaking for myself, perhaps if I could concentrate more on these other things belonging to other people, I would be less conscious of my aches and pains, broken lawnmowers, various other things that tend to go wrong in one's life, as well as the everyday things that happen. And I think Jesus put that very, very well, that if we're doing it for somebody else, we're doing it to him. We're doing it to him. And taking focus of ourselves and doing something for somebody else is a healing process, I think. It's something that you don't actually see happen, but it can heal the aches, not the aches necessarily physically, but the heartaches and all the other kinds of aches that we have. And I think Jesus is exhorting us to look outwards, and then the healing process for ourselves will begin. It's his formula, not mine. Shall we just have a little word of prayer? Lord, we thank you that you do give us opportunities to help other people. Help us to see the need. It's a difficult time at the moment to reach out and do anything for anybody else, but we've all got things we can do for someone else, no matter how small it is. And we pray that each day, Lord Jesus, we might glorify your name by reaching out. Help us not to just get stuck in our homes, feeling sorry for ourselves and moping about. But Lord Jesus, help us to look out and to realise there's a world beyond our little cocoon. Lord, forgive us if we're just concentrating on our own bits and pieces in life. Help us, Lord, to be like you and to see the need. Open our eyes, we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jim.
We're just going to have a time of prayer now. Father, we thank you this morning for the opportunity we have to come together for prayer and fellowship. And we thank you for your promise that whenever we come to meet in your name, you are there in our midst. We thank and praise you for your promise to be with us always. We know, Father, that you are listening to our prayers that we bring before you this morning. And we thank you for the recent spell of lovely weather we have enjoyed, and are grateful for the wonderful creation that you have provided for us to enjoy. But we do, however, recognise that there are many trouble spots in your world, Lord, and we remember particularly the Israel-Palestinian conflict, the ongoing troubles in North African region, and also the unease in the Far Eastern countries. And we ask that your peace will somehow come to prevail in all these troubled areas. And we also pray for the heads of state who are meeting just now in Cornwall, that they may be united in their efforts to bring stability and bring under control the coronavirus pandemic by overseeing the distribution of free vaccinations to countries that are struggling to cope with the vaccination programme. Heavenly Father, we know you are the way, the truth, and the world's only true light. And we ask, Lord, that you will give us courage, wisdom, and grace as we go about our daily lives, so that we are ever watchful for the opportunities to share your word with others and to serve you in a way that is pleasing and worthy to you. We do not know what lies ahead in the coming days and weeks, Lord, but we do know you hold our future in your hands. You are our solid rock on which we can depend. You are our comforter and guide throughout our lives. And we believe you will never leave us or forsake us through our life's journey. And Lord, we pray for your wisdom, strength and power to be constantly present in our lives. And we pray too, Lord, that we would keep our focus on you. Please give us insight and discernment to understand your will and know your ways better. And we pray that we would focus on what is right and true to bring glory and honour to your holy name. Amen. And Ronnie's going to bring some prayers for our church family.
Dear Heavenly Father, we do indeed come this morning to thank you for your many blessings. We do, of course, give you thanks for the wonderful weather that we've just enjoyed. We hope to enjoy for a little while longer. We thank you for the lovely area in which we live, but we sometimes take for granted. We thank you for our friends and family, and for all those who help us on our way. We bring before you this morning our congregation, those of our congregation who are unable to be with us because of ill health. We think particularly of Frank and Pat, who is helping to look after him. We remember Jenny and Ian as Jenny makes progress after her fall. We also at this time remember those who are unable to be with us today, but for whatever reason. Lord, we ask that you will be your peace and blessing be with them all. We think this morning for all those who are involved in spreading the word, your word, in this area. We remember NISCU as they prepare to go back into schools. Cape and Ray Bible College as they grapple with the restrictions that are placed upon them because of the pandemic. Keswick Convention as they also make ongoing adjustments because of the pandemic. May your blessing be upon these people and upon us all. Lord, in your mercy hear our prayer. Amen.
Do you know, I find myself frequently inwardly embarrassed by how little I seem to reach out to God. You get so immersed in the things that we're doing, and often those things go so much better if we first reach out to God and say, Lord, could I have your help with this? In James it says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you, and that song's an encouragement to reach out in our hearts, in our spirits, to God at all times, in all places, under all circumstances. We're going to have a reading from Matthew chapter 18, which is there. Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times. Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. Just highlight that. Notice, he said, give me time, and I will repay you. And the master said, okay, in that case, I'll cancel the debt. He didn't say, I'll give you time and wait for your repayment. He cancelled the debt. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said, I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Next slide. And this is our theme today. Something you may have come across in the news over the past week. Ollie Robinson is one of the England cricket team's newest players. And he started well in the recent test match against New Zealand. Anybody follow the cricket? No, never mind. It's self-explanatory. So, it was his first test match. He was doing well. I think he took 7 wickets in it. But then racist and sexist tweets that he posted almost 10 years ago as a teenager were brought to light. He's now 27, and according to his team, quote, Solly is a very different man from the one who wrote those tweets and has clearly learned much in the intervening years. He has made clear the shame, embarrassment and remorse he feels for the discriminatory comments he made. Despite his apologies, he's been dropped from the England team, at least for a few matches, while the England and Wales Cricket Board decide what to do. The ECB are now also looking into questionable social media posts by other England players. In today's worldview, today's thinking, there seems to be little room for forgiveness. People remain tainted for what they were unable to make amends, any change rejected or unbelieved. Stuff's constantly coming out, isn't it, that people have put across the internet, the social media, years ago, and now people seem to be seeking it out in order to catch them out, to condemn them. Regardless of whether it's actually relevant now. I'm not excusing sin, but most, if not all of us, have things in our past which we regret. And Satan will take every opportunity to undermine our faith by accusing us of past thoughts, words and actions for which God has forgiven us, but for which we struggle to fully forgive ourselves. Does that ring a bell? Do you find things from your past keep coming back, things that you regret, even though you've brought them to God in the past? Some scriptures. Firstly, from Zechariah 3. Then the angel showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right side to accuse him. The Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this man a burning stick snatched from the fire? Now Joshua was dressed in filthy clothes as he stood before the angel. The angel said to those who were standing before him, take off his filthy clothes. Then he said to Joshua, see, I have taken away your sin, and I will put fine garments on you. In Revelation 12, John writes, I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, he who accuses them before our God day and night. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, Anyone you forgive, I, Paul, also forgive. And what I have forgiven, if there was anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake, in order that Satan might not outwit us. For we are not aware, for we are not unaware of his schemes. Now, as much as anyone, Paul had personal experience of God's forgiveness. He was a man who, after recognizing Jesus as the Messiah and committing his life to serving him, was still feared by other believers because of his reputation. In Acts 9, we're told that when Paul came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was really a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. Paul had been so awful in the things he had been doing, persecuting Christians, having them dragged before the authorities. You'll recall the time when, I think it's the first encounter we have with Paul in the Bible, in Acts, when he stood, it doesn't say cheering on, but basically cheering on the crowd that are stoning Stephen to death. He stands there, I'll hold your coats for you while you throw the stones. And then he went out to try and have Christians dragged into prison and worse. But God met with him. He disregarded Paul's past life and chose him. Thank God for his grace. Grace that says, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. That's from Psalm 103. John Newton went to sea at a young age and worked on ships in the slave trade for several years. Eventually, he became a slave ship captain. After retiring from active seafaring, he continued to invest in the slave trade, but after experiencing a conversion to Christianity, Newton later renounced his trade and became a prominent supporter of abolition. Some of you probably remember that it was he, John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. And Newton lived to see the British Empire's abolition of the African slave trade in 1807, just months before his death. But that was the African slave trade. There was more to be done. William Wilberforce went up to St John's College, Cambridge, at the age of 17 and pursued a hedonistic lifestyle, enjoying cards, gambling and late-night drinking sessions. But by the time he was 21, he was MP for Kingston upon Hull. A few years later, when he was 26, Wilberforce became a Christian, regretting his past life and resolving to commit his future life and work to the service of God. He considered leaving politics, but John Newton and others counselled him to continue as an MP. He then committed himself to leading the campaign in Parliament for the abolition of slavery, although he also championed other causes, British missionary work in India, the foundation of the Church Missionary Society, and the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, later to become the Royal Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. But abolition of the slave trade absorbed him for almost 50 years until 26th July 1833, when Wilberforce heard of government concessions that guaranteed the passing of the bill for the abolition of slavery. He died 3 days later and was buried in Westminster Abbey. Now that's just two examples of how, rather than rejecting people for their past sins, God can completely transform them. Well, three examples if you include Paul, and why of course wouldn't we? But as I said earlier, in today's way of thinking, there seems to be little room for forgiveness. But this is not the message of the gospel. Thank God. It's a message that says that you can change. That change can be recognised. That you can be forgiven. And that any trespass can be disregarded by our Lord. Not forgotten, but blotted out by the blood of Jesus, which is more positive. Blotted out by the blood of Jesus. How sad it is that people don't want to hear such a wonderful message. The cry of guilty drowned out by the shout, forgiven. Reading the Gospels, we encounter many examples of Jesus' attitude to those who were totally rejected by others. Here's just a few. Consider his treatment, it's in John 4, of the Samaritan woman who, having had five husbands, was now living in adultery. His fellow Jews would have been astonished that he was talking to her. His disciples certainly were. But his warm acceptance of her leads to a local revival. How about the way Jesus deals with the demonized man in Mark 5? He also ends up telling many others about his encounter with Jesus. And there's the way Jesus treats the woman caught in adultery in John 8 that I referred to a couple of Sundays ago. Doesn't condemn people for their past sins, but looks for them to transform, to be transformed. I could go on. As John says, Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. Hopefully, hard as it can be, we follow Jesus' example and don't condemn others for their past wrongs. But what of ourselves? What about ourselves? The accusations continue in the battleground of our minds. Suggestions that we are still clothed in filthy rags of long past sins. Suggestions that perhaps we weren't completely forgiven, haven't truly repented. Satan, who unsuccessfully used scripture to tempt Jesus, might use Romans 6:23 against us. For the wages of sin is death. The accuser of the brethren. Remembered like that, that verse could place us under condemnation, bring us low, crush our spirit. It's a good example of why familiarity with scripture is important. Now, essential. Because what the verse in its entirety says is, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's better, isn't it? That's better. And remember also Romans 8 verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. It set you free. It set me free. And 1 Peter 5 verse 8 reminds us to be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. He wants to bring you down. He wants to wreck your relationship with the Lord. How are we to defend ourselves? Ephesians 6 supplies the answer. And I'm going to finish with these verses. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. That's better than trying to be strong in our own power, isn't it? Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Not maybe able to take your stand, but so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled round your waist. That belt of truth that says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is life through Jesus Christ. With the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Be strong in his might. Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you. That's such a weak expression, really. But I want to thank you, Lord, on behalf of all of us here. That you have blotted out our transgressions with the blood of Jesus. Our debt is cancelled. Our debt is cancelled. We are forgiven. And when the accuser comes to try and convince us that we aren't, that something we did was too bad, or we haven't properly repented, or whatever it is, Lord, let us look to you. Let us be confident that there is no condemnation because we are in Jesus. It is the enemy, Satan, who tries to bring condemnation upon us. But you bring us love and freedom from sin. Lord Jesus, we thank you. So, Father, as we absorb the wonder of that truth, may we have opportunities to share it with others that don't yet know it. May we be like that Samaritan woman, like Paul, like that former demoniac, who just couldn't stop themselves from telling what wonders you had done for them. Lord, may we also tell others of the wonders that you have worked for us and continue to work for us. Lord. Give us wisdom, give us boldness, give us words to speak, things to do, love to share. Father, help us in this week that we're starting today. We ask for your blessing, Lord, that we might bless others too. In Jesus' name, Amen.